Hey, this is David and Nicole Binion, pastors of Dwell Church.
We're so glad you've joined us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So I saw this prophetic word has nothing to do with my sermon, except maybe it does. I saw it on social media yesterday. It said, a Texas revival. I'm all in. Yeah, yeah. I don't want a revival for church growth. I want revival for character growth. The Lord showed me an outpouring of power and revival in the state of Texas. It's coming through some unlikely candidates, and it's part of a purification happening in the true body of Christ. Something major is happening in the realm of the Spirit in San Antonio and Austin. I saw a key of the prophetic being laid upon Austin. There will be a gathering of prophets flowing to that region. And while there are many demons of deception there, the Lord is raising some pure prophetic voices. And then San Antonio is marked as a hub for the glory of God. Y'all, let's take a trip to San Antonio. Houston will be known as a headquarters of strong preaching. I saw the anointing of decree over that city profoundly. Dallas has been marked for apostolic purposes. Various apostolic streams will flow in and out of Dallas, and many will build their headquarters there. I saw the Lord establishing a new era in the state and highlighting some emerging voices. It will have a profound impact on the nations. God wants to bring a strong flow of miracles, the supernatural, and revival to Texas. He wants to displace and dethrone the spirit of religion in the territory and cleanse churches from the spirit of perversion that runs alongside religion. I saw the refiner's fire hitting the church in Texas. Texas is a governing state with a global impact and will continue to grow and enlarge. Many pioneers, along with the proven generals, are arising in the state of Texas. Two. Think about that. Position yourself. If you don't want to be a part of that, you might as well go ahead and dismiss yourself. When revival broke out in Bethel Church in Reading decades ago, Bill Johnson said their church lost hundreds of people when revival broke out. We don't have hundreds to lose, but if we lost 100, we might have to call it quits. But whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I want revival. So I'll be quick because our friend Calvin Noel is here. And he's going to come back and lead us in another season of worship. And whatever God, whatever's on your heart, you're saying some things in the green room. And I was like, oh, every time Calvin comes, the preach gets on him. So we've been on this series, Knowing God. And so I'm just going to sprinkle the path with some crumbs of revelation, and we're going to continue in our worship. So, are y'all ready?
Yes.
I need some excitement. Do I need to make y'all yell again? Knowing God as the omnipotent one. That's a big word. Didn't you do the omnipresent? You touched on the omnipresent. That means he's everywhere, all the time, at the same time. Omnipotent. Means unlimited power.
Yeah.
Just want to say this. We were created to know God.
Yeah.
It is our greatest goal and highest calling to know God. As his disciples, God made us to be students of who he is.
Wow, yeah.
And the study of the attributes of God is all about knowing him.
Yeah.
We do not examine his character for academic knowledge.
Right.
This is not to make you smarter.
We
study who he is because we desire to know him.
Yes.
Say, we desire to know him. Everybody, come on, say it out loud.
We desire to know him.
Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this,
yeah,
that he understands and knows me. Let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. John 17, verse 3 is the one I want to read, but I'm going to back up and read a couple more to give context. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. I want to say prophetically to you right now, the hour has come.
Yes.
Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Several scriptures here. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him. I used this a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I want you to see the resurrected one.
Yeah.
Not the one, and it was incredible, but many times that's all we see of Jesus, is the one on Chosen. We see the miracles, and it's amazing. It's incredible. It was the plan of God. We see him feed the 5,000. It's extraordinary, but that's not the Jesus that Paul wanted to know.
Wow.
John saw him. John saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's like Jesus just peeled himself open and this bright, white-haired, eyes of fire, this vision on the Mount of Transfiguration. He transfigured before them. He reflected what the kingdom really looks like. And then he saw him again some 60 years later on the Isle of Patmos. It all comes back to the book of Revelation for me in this day. He saw him, this glorious feet like bronze aglow. How does that verse go in I See Jesus? This is a plug for the album. You got to get it. Give me the first voice. Voice like rushing water. Hair like purest snow. Eyes like flames of fire. Feet like bronze aglow. From his mouth, from his face comes blinding light. From his mouth, a two-edged blade. The terrifying beauty. The terrifying beauty. The wonder has a name. That I may know the resurrected one. Yeah. I want to see that one. That's the one living in you.
Yes.
That's the one living in me. That is the one that propels us.
Yes. Yes.
That drives us to what we are about to see unfold before us. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. We cannot understand who we are apart from understanding God, who made us in his image and has created us for his glory.
Yes.
When we study the attributes of God, we see how we fall short. Which leaves us humbled and grateful that our perfect God pursued our imperfect hearts.
Yes, yes.
It shows us our worth.
Yeah.
How much we are loved.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I learned that song in Sunday school. I could sing it by the time I was 3. Maybe 2. I was a really smart kid. Okay, I was 6 months old. So I want to talk about the omnipotent God. God is omnipotent. He holds all power.
Yes, yes.
You know what all means in the Greek? All. He holds all power, and his power is limitless.
Yes, yes.
I went to see my sister-in-law at the hospital today. I don't know if they're able to watch. If you're watching, hear me say again now what I said to you in the hospital. The omnipotent one, The one with unlimited power lives in your body, laying there in the bed with cancer. The omnipotent one, the one with unlimited power, sneezes at cancer. It doesn't matter that the doctors say there's no treatment now. I took her by the hand and I said, Michelle, what do you want? You want to fight? If you're tired, no one will blame you. But if you want to fight, I'm here to fight with you. So I said to her then, and I want us to say as a corporate group, Michelle, I hope you're watching. If you're not watching now, you'll get to watch it on the rerun or sometime tomorrow. I don't know what. I remember when I had my encounter and I heard the Lord say, the glory of Eden has broken through. I was navigating the presence of God and trying to figure out what it was. And in that moment, I stumbled upon, I became aware of a room full of orphaned miracles. You remember that story? Me telling that story? Orphaned, everybody say orphaned miracles. And they were looking for a home. And I remember, though, reaching my hand into that eternal place. And when I withdrew my hand and brought it back into the realm where I was, in my hand, Michelle, was the answer for cancer. So I release it to you now. I release the answer. Doctors think they got it figured out. They'll tell you how many days you have left. But I tell you, you're the healed of the Lord. You're a daughter of the kingdom. And I command this cancer once and for all to be ended. I sever it from you in the name of Jesus. Anybody else in the room need a severing from a dark spirit, depression, from any kind of sickness and disease? Anybody in the room, stand up now and we're just going to deal with it. And we're going to call for healing. In Jesus' name, I command the dark attack on your life and I say, healing is your portion. I command you to be completely healed and whole, whatever it is. If it's emotional, if it's physical, I say it's nothing to him. He is the one with unlimited power. He created all things by his word. His power not only created, but also sustains all of creation. I don't care what they say about global warming. All that we'll ever need to survive is already in the hands of God. He sustains what he created. Nothing has been created apart from him. And every molecule on earth is known and sustained by his power. Every cell. His sustaining power never ceases. He does not need a break to get recharged. Isaiah reminds us, he does not grow faint or grow weary. His limitless power is always used for good and never used for evil. He is completely distinct from us. When I knew I was going to talk about the omnipotence of God, the omnipotent one, I can't even focus to study. Omnipotent, the almighty, powerful attribute, the unlimited power. Yeah. And it's connected to all these other things. The one with unlimited power is omnipresent. So that means we can decree it here in McKinney and at the hospital in Fort Worth, the same presence is manifest. Yes. The omnipotent is connected to the omnipresence. It's connected to the mercy of God, to the grace of God, to the love. He heals you because he loves you. Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9, and I'm almost done here. Kareem, if you guys are watching Kareem, notice that he'll get up right now because he knows that's the there you are, you handsome man. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Job 26, 14. Are you going to hear about this in the book of Job? Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways. And how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? As a writer, I like the way that comes out of my mouth. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So I remember going to the Word of Faith conference with my dad when I was 13, 14, and they would sing that song. And I, you know, at the time, it was kind of cool. Right now, it feels a little hokey. Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with by thy great power. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult. But you know what? I learned that song and I discovered the power of the word. And it doesn't matter what melody it is. It doesn't matter what rhythm it is. I have this truth and it's like a tattoo on my mind. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in power, mighty indeed. Mighty is he? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. You don't know this, do you? You're too young. Luke 1:37, Jesus said, for nothing will be impossible with God. Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul wrote that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is a mouthful. Just those few words, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The resurrected one. The fullness. Do we really grasp? Do we really grasp the resurrected, glorious one lives in us? There is nothing we can't face. It doesn't matter who is in the White House as long as we know who is in our house. The resurrected Jesus, and every knee, every darkness, every sickness will surrender. That's why I say again to you, my sister-in-law, Michelle, nothing is too difficult. Sometimes we have to keep saying it and keep praying it. Throughout Scripture, we hear it again and again. We hear it repeated. Nothing is too difficult for God. Sometimes it's seen in a longing question, like Sarah in her long battle with infertility. But she gets the message, nothing is too hard for God. Sometimes it's seen in God's miraculous works when God's people stand against impossible circumstances. Sometimes it comes as confident assurance, like when the angel spoke to Mary about the promised son inside her virgin womb. The Bible speaks of the supernatural only because God is omnipotent. He holds all power and can do as he pleases. There is no circumstance too difficult, no suffering that is too deep, no sinner that is too lost that he cannot redeem. You don't hear this word a lot, although I remember an old Dottie Rambo song. And you're probably not going to know it. So you can just hold the one. If you know it, I'll be really proud. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and too minor grace, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent. The omnipotent one lives, and he doesn't just live, he doesn't just reign. His throne is established on living stones. His throne has been set up in you and me, and he's commissioned us to go into the earth and destroy the works of the devil.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives.
And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.